You're listening to the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoin and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Back with you on 590 The Fan, the Midday Grind. Martin Kilcoin, Charlie Marlowe with you. Coming to you from Brentwood, Kolache Factory. You never know who will stop by. Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, stopping by with a show of support.
It's the place to be.
A little later, Jeff Rainford, Chief of Staff for Mayor Slay, and now a political consultant who is going to help us understand the vote on Tuesday, a little better understand the city ballot there for the MLS initiative with the new stadium. But right now, it's the Cardinals owner, Bill DeWitt Jr., who is with us. And Bill, we are now just days away. I think spring training's too long. Maybe you guys make money off it, so I probably shouldn't say anything. But are you ready for the real deal?
I'm ready. I'm good to go. I'm still in Jupiter, but I'll be in St. Louis on Sunday and look forward to it.
Couple of stops for your team, Memphis tonight, Springfield tomorrow, your top affiliates, and, you know, maybe not every player wants to do it, but for your franchise and your affiliates, I would think this is huge to have the big club come through.
It is, and as you know, we value highly our minor league clubs. Memphis is a great Cardinal market. Springfield is a great Cardinal market. We own 100% of Springfield, and we own 25% of Memphis. So we're engaged in both places and happy to stop by on the way north.
Well, Bill, a topic most of camp, and especially late in camp, the contract situation with Yadier Molina. What can you tell us at this point? Because we know, obviously, the clock is ticking. Where do we stand?
Well, we're working on it, and we're hopeful that we can have something done by the deadline, which we're on the clock for, but until it's done, we won't know. So it would be great to have Yadier Molina as a lifetime Cardinal and finish his career with us. So that's our goal.
And there have been some great Cardinals, but they didn't end their career in St. Louis. You know, Edmonds ended up traded, and we know Albert ended up in Anaheim, but does that play a factor at all? Do you say, boy, we've had some great Cardinals. They don't always end up here. We want to make sure this guy does. How do you balance the business side and the emotions with this?
Well, it's, I think, a great thing if you can have an iconic player like Yadier Molina begin his career and finish his career with the Cardinals. He's had a long career, and as he goes forward, he's in great shape. You know, he was terrific in the World Baseball Classic. And he's got a lot of, as he said, a lot of fuel left in the tank. So, you know, despite the fact that he's been with us since, I think, 2004, if we can add additional years on, that would be quite a career.
If I could steal from the Cusumano playbook. All right, Bill, no hedging. Do you think it'll get done before Sunday?
Well, the only comment I'll have on that is we'll make every effort and we'll see how it turns out.
And, Bill, how do you, you know, put a monetary value on a guy who's not just good on the field, and we know he's getting up in age, you know, for a baseball player. He's still getting it done on the field and at the catching position, but also a guy that means so much to the franchise and to the fans. How much does that play a role in making, you know, what is a business decision, but obviously people are very invested in these people like Yadier Molina?
Well, it's certainly an aspect of the situation for our fans and for our organization, and really the history of our organization, where we've had such great players over the years. And when you think about what he's been a part of, and a big part, we've won 4 pennants, 2 world championships with him behind the plate. That's a pretty impressive resume right there. Multiple gold gloves, you know, leader on the team, manages young pitchers. If you look at the ERA that pitchers have when they pitch to him and what they have pitching to other catchers, there's quite a difference. So, you know, there are a lot of intangibles that maybe don't show up in the numbers, and he's just been a great Cardinal, and I hope he continues to be.
Bill, I've been referring to this season as intriguing as any of late, just because of the role the Cardinals have historically been in, you know, expected to be the champs and predicted to finish on top, and now you have the Cubs phenomenon that's happened, and I can't call the Cardinals an afterthought. They'll never be that in baseball, but are you intrigued also to just kind of be in this slightly overlooked role as a franchise that's done a lot of winning?
Well, we were the favorite for quite a few years, but we've always had heavy competition in the division. When Houston was at the top of their game, and in the National League, you know, we had some great rivalries there. Cincinnati had some really strong teams getting into the playoffs. Pittsburgh, Milwaukee. You know, no one has sort of laid down and had bad teams consistently. And now the Cubs have emerged as a strong franchise. They've always been a strong franchise, but with really a top club. So, you know, it's what makes the game interesting and fun and unpredictable is you have a lot of competition, and we look forward to it, and hopefully we'll come out on top.
And, Bill, how do you view it from an organizational standpoint? For example, what happened last season, we're at the trading deadline. The Cubs are well ahead, and it's obvious they're going to most likely win the division, and you have to make the decision to, say, go for it for a wild card and a one-game, basically, coin flip, if that were to, say, happen again this year. I mean, I understand from an organizational standpoint you don't want to do that every year, but you also want to go for the playoffs. How do you kind of, you know, look at that and evaluate that?
Well, our goal each year is to compete for a playoff spot, and once we get one, if we're fortunate enough to have a playoff spot, to be competitive in the postseason. And, you know, we had five straight years of being in the playoffs and multiple NLCS appearances, and we missed by a game last year. And the best way to do that is to have fresh blood coming through our system, draft, sign internationally well, and develop those players and always have that next group coming that when players either age, get hurt, or leave for free agency, that we don't have to take a step backwards. And, you know, so far that game plan has worked pretty well for us. And, you know, one thing I will say about this spring training, which was a terrific spring in every way other than, I'll say, the injury to Alex Reyes, we kind of showcased some young talent here that maybe some of the fans weren't aware of, and they really played well. Harrison Bader, Paul DeYoung, Maggie Sierra, players like that were pretty impressive position players, and then good young pitching with Flaherty and Alcantara and others that shows you what we have coming down the line.
And every sport wants to have some sort of competitive balance, and the Cubs had a lot of high picks because they were really bad. And then they had these high picks are really good players, and all of a sudden now the Cubs are a power. You guys have been in that position where you're always in the mix. You're always good, sometimes very good, but never out of it. It's kind of a tough position to be in. I mean, nobody's going to feel sorry for the Cardinals, but unless you really bottom out and get some top picks, it's hard to really load up. I mean, you got to nail it when you do pick in the middle of the late of the first round, but it's just a different ball game, and you're not somebody, I don't think I'll ever hear you say, let's bottom out for a while just to get picks.
No, well, that's not our game plan. We want to be competitive every year, but you're right, Martin. I mean, it's quite an advantage to pick in the top 10 and in some cases the top five, which the Cubs did. But when you're there, you better make good picks, which they have. And they've really done a good job putting a good young club together. But there are some good players in the rounds down below that we've been fortunate to take advantage of over the years. And that's the challenge, to do well throughout the draft and not just in the first round. Internationally now, there's a little bit of a leveling of the playing field as well, because there are slight differences in the caps. It's a hard cap that clubs have, but not much of a difference. It's kind of in the $5 million range for all the clubs. So, you know, that creates competition for the better players, and, you know, you're limited to what you can spend. So, you know, MLB, rightfully so, is looking for competitive balance, and we've had a lot of it with, you see some of the small markets doing so well. Kansas City won two pennants in a row and a world championship, and Pittsburgh's up there, and others. So we just need to keep grinding it out, doing as best, as good a job as we can, and, you know, develop our own players.
Bill DeWitt Jr., the Cardinals owner, with us here on 590 The Fan. Bill, what's your take on the Colton Wong situation? Because there was a lot of offseason talk about, hey, this is his job this year. He's going to be the everyday second baseman. And then there was a mention of a platoon, and he seemed to get all upset. He said he wanted to be traded. And then he said, well, I didn't really want to be traded. But and at some point, the kid's got to play and perform. Where are you guys as a franchise with Colton?
Well, Colton, unfortunately, he's still young, and he's highly talented. Great defender and runs well, and he profiled, he was first rounder, as you know, as a strong offensive player. He got through the minors quickly, so he's got a lot of talent, and I think, you know, sometimes a young player can be a little impulsive when asked a question, and I think he probably regrets what he said. It's always easy to say, you know, I'll do anything the manager wants me to do, and I'm going to give my best no matter what position I'm put in. And that's the attitude players need to take. But he made a mistake in his comment there, and he knows it. And I think you'll see a lot out of Colton Wong this year. I predict that he'll have a good year and live up to the expectations we all have for him.
Bill, putting you on the spot a bit, if there's one Cardinals player that you had to point to this year and say, if this guy steps up, if he's the player we think he can be, the Cardinals will get back to the playoffs. Who do you think that is?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to name a single player that I think is so key to the,
or a couple guys,
to the team. But, you know, one player I'll say who really opened up some eyes this spring was Matt Adams. He came in, we knew he'd lost a lot of weight, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes maybe it's not so good if it's accompanied by, you know, a lack of strength. But he had a great spring, really looks good, and, you know, it gives us a lot more depth because he can play first. He actually caught a ball in the outfield the other day after a couple of games with no chances. So he's a guy that, you know, had a great spring, and the regulars that we know are going to be out there, like Matt Carpenter and Aledmys Diaz and others, of course Fowler, and, you know, some of the guys who are penciled into the starting lineup, you know, they have maybe take a little different approach in spring training where they work on things. But overall, I would say our club's coming into opening day in really great shape. Strong, with good depth in the minor leagues. So I wouldn't put my finger on any one player as saying he's critical to what we do. I will say that having a healthy pitching staff would certainly enhance our chances. And it's rare that you go through a season where your five starters pitch every game. The Cubs were fortunate last year. They had no injuries to their five starters, and I think they made 152 of 100. So that's, you know, that's something you hope for, and if we can accomplish that, well, that would be terrific.
And finally from me, Bill, we've had your guy Norman Taylor, the Busch Stadium executive sous chef, on the radio several times. I'm trying to advocate for a raise for this guy. He's fantastic. Everybody loves him and makes just delicious food there.
Well, we try to do the best we can with good food at Busch, and we get a lot of compliments about it. And, you know, I've been to some other parks, and I think we're right up there at the top. So that's a nice thing to bring up, and I know the fans enjoy it.
And, Bill, final thought for me. There's a big push for the MLS to come to town. As somebody who makes money in the city and has his, you know, business right there downtown, how involved or how concerned are you the future of our downtown and making it more than just Cardinal games and making it a hub for maybe even the region? Any thoughts on that from you?
Well, I hope it passes because I hope that we get Major League Soccer and a new stadium downtown. Anything that's good downtown is good for everyone, not only downtown, but throughout the area, and we need to continue to have new things, new attractions, development. We're doing our part with Ballpark Village with a phase two effort that I think is going to open up a lot of eyes. There's a fair amount of development in addition to that. So to have Major League Soccer, you know, St. Louis has such a great soccer history and tradition that, you know, I hope the vote passes and that they get a franchise. If it does pass, I know they'll get a franchise, or the owners, we as the citizens. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out.
And finally, Bill, do you have your Metallica tickets yet? Have you secured those for this summer?
You know, I'm more of a Billy Joel man. So,
okay.
I've been to some great concerts at Bush. Saw Paul McCartney last year and U2 before. And I love Billy Joel, so I'll certainly be at that concert. Metallica, I haven't made up my mind on that yet. That may be maybe a little different audience, a little younger than I am.
Breaking news here. Okay, forget the Molina contract. Bill is saying he's not sure if he'll be able to make it to Metallica.
I would
it
love.
Sounds like there's a chance.
I'd love to see you in a Metallica black concert tee, a man of the people. That would be awesome.
Bill,
I may make every effort to attend, although I couldn't tell you what songs they sing.
Enter Sandman,
that's all you need to know.
Was Mariano Rivera's
entrance
song for many years for the Yankees. That was a Metallic song. Bill, we've wasted enough of
your
time.
Oh, that one
we'll
I do know, so I will make it.
There you go.
So I can hear that.
Bill, thanks for your time.
Good to be with you. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
All right. Bill DeWitt Jr., the Cardinals owner, and he really is a gentleman. Somebody who is, you know, honestly, Charlie accuses me of being a jerk. If I had Bill's money, I'd be a bigger jerk. But he's you almost talked him into going to Metallica, I think.
That would be cool. Wouldn't it be cool to see Bill DeWitt Jr.?
He's not going, but it would
be
cool.
Man.
It would be cool.
That'd be a great picture. Again, to kind of put him up against our guy Enos, just kind of different ownership.
Absolutely.
Here's the guy with the people at Metallica headbanging.
And how many years, forget Enos, but how many years did he have a piece of the Rams and then full ownership? And you ask Bill DeWitt, who owned a team in the same city, who's no slouch. Did you ever hear from him? Did you ever meet him? No, I didn't really know him. I met him in Phoenix when he tried to buy the Dodgers. That's about it.
And somebody on the text line just said, I feel like I've heard Bill DeWitt Jr. on this station five or six times in the last week or so with the gentleman, or not so gentlemanly, right, like you just mentioned. How many times did you hear him?
And I thought they were going to say,
never.
And nobody else had the guts to ask him about Metallica.
I thought
that's what they were going to say. All right, late for the break here. It is 2:03. The Midday Grind, Martin Kilcoin, Charlie Marlow here until 3 o'clock. And here is the Kolache Factory. It's Kolache Factory in Brentwood. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jeff Rainford, understanding this MLS vote a little better. If you've been confused, stay tuned. We'll clear it all up right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, and InsideSTL.com.